You're listening to the Writing Wall Podcast, and I'm your host, Stacey Hawks. Every second and fourth Saturday of the month, I will be here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and many other platforms. This podcast is designed for indie authors to have a platform to share their books, their poetry, and their stories. We also feature well-known and traditional writers that are from my home state of North Carolina, while also featuring local writers from my backyard right here in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Allegheny County. You can connect with us on Twitter at The Writing Wall or on Instagram at WritingsOnTheWall85. And grab our links there to our website so that you can keep up with what's happening with our monthly newsletter. Newsletters go out the first of every month. And you can also sign up to follow us on the Wix app. Because everyone has a story, we want to hear yours. What is your story? Welcome to the Writing Wall Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Hawks, and I'm here with Terrianne Brown, award-winning author for Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. She joins us this evening to discuss her latest book, An Enemy Like Me. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you so much for having me.
So share with listeners a little about yourself, where you're from, and the genre you write.
So I am from, well, I can't tell you where I'm from. I was born in Athens, Greece. I did a lot of my growing up years in Canton, Ohio. I moved to North Carolina when I was 15, and I've lived in North Carolina ever since. So I guess it depends on who you talk to. If you're a native North Carolinian, then I'm not a North Carolinian. But if you're anyone else, I would be. And then the genre that I write is historical fiction right now, although I kind of have some ideas for some stories that are not historical fiction, and I hope that readers who enjoy what I write will go along with me when I try those out.
So your first novel was set in Ukraine. For those who have not heard of Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, what was that story about?
So it was about three generations of women living in Ukraine. It started when Ukraine was still part of the Soviet Union in the 70s. And then it kind of follows these three women and the journey that they go on as they kind of learn to, you know, grow and become despite these horrible circumstances they live in. And we watch these three women, and we also watch Ukraine itself as it changes from a communist country to early independence to gaining, like, really strong independence to once again being invaded by Russia back in 2014.
So your latest is set during a world war. Tell listeners about An Enemy Like Me.
So An Enemy Like Me is a World War II historical novel. However, I try to say it's not your typical historical, you know, World War II genre, because I look at the war from the point of view of a first-generation German-American. So the soldier, his name is Jacob. His parents moved to the United States. He was the first generation born in the United States. He suffers a lot of loss when he's young. He finally finds this beautiful woman. He marries her. He has and she have a child together. He believes that he's moving on to his happily ever after, and World War II strikes. He eventually decides that fighting in the war is what he needs to do, but recognizes that he's more like the enemy than he is different from them when he ends up fighting in Germany.
You know, it really makes you stop and think that there were probably a lot of immigrants like that. They had just gotten here, they had just settled in, they had just had families, they were starting a whole new chapter in their lives, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're over there in Europe fighting a war against the very people that, you know, tried to come over and make a home here.
It is true. And what's really interesting is I have the book out a little bit early before the launch, and I had several readers who contacted me and said how it made them think about their families and made them think about how they must have felt about the war and that they had never really considered it before. So I think I touched on something that was real that a lot of people hadn't really considered. The story came about because my family is German American, but we've lived in the United States since sometime in the mid 1700s. But despite that, when my grandfather fought in World War II in Germany, it was something that haunted him. And he one time said to me, I was a teenager, and he said that he always wondered if the person on the other side of his gun was a cousin.
So is that what inspired you to write this story?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I had that, I don't know, that idea when he said that to me, that really was haunting. You know, the idea that, you know, who are our enemies and what makes someone an enemy versus a cousin? And sometimes it's just a matter of a generation. So in this story, Jacob, you know, was one generation away from being on the other side of that war.
It's definitely an interesting perspective and one I'm looking forward to reading. So like most historical fiction novels, there's always some level of research involved that we do. Was there something in particular you had to research or found interesting after researching it?
So I found a couple of things really interesting. One of the things that I had to do was I knew that I wanted him to be in Germany and to go through certain areas of Germany. And so I started out with where I wanted him to end up. And then I had to do research to figure out which of the many different units might have been in that area. And then I backtracked them all the way to where they would have gotten their basic training, so that when I sent Jacob off to basic training, I put him in the right spot. And one of the reasons that I do that much research to make it that real, even though most readers are not going to go and check on that and make sure that he could have been in that spot at that time, I feel like as an author of historical fiction, I have a duty to make sure that the historical part is as accurate as possible. The fiction part I'm allowed to do with what I want, but the historical part needs to be accurate. So that was kind of an interesting little thing to see which units started out where and where they ended up. But the other thing that was really interesting, and I put this into the book, is a lot of people know about the Japanese internment camps where Japanese Americans were put during the war because people were afraid. But what people don't know is that there were also German American internment camps. And although they weren't as common and they weren't as filled up as the Japanese ones, they did exist. And German Americans who people thought maybe had too many connections back in their homeland, or they were afraid that they might be Nazi sympathizers in any way, were put in these camps.
It is interesting. It's definitely interesting to think about just so much history there, you know, between and truly, you know, mistrust of everyone at that time.
Exactly. You know, and it makes you start thinking about that fear. The fear of someone who's different than you or might believe different from you. And then what will it make a person do? And, you know, in this case, it was create these internment camps to put people in. But we do all kinds of crazy things when we fear another group or another person or another, you know. And so it's something to think about. It's one of the things I hope readers will think about when reading the book is, you know, what makes an enemy? Because as Jacob realized, you know, he was one generation away from being the enemy, and he was really more like that enemy than he was different from that enemy. And so in our own lives, what makes an enemy and what can we do, I don't know, to kind of stop that idea of an enemy? Because most of the time in our lives, we don't need it.
So you mentioned what you put in the book. Was there anything that you chose to leave out of An Enemy Like Me that you can share with listeners?
I think I put in just about everything that I thought of. I didn't do a whole lot of the war itself, the fighting and the, you know, I leave that to people's imaginations. You know, there are a couple of very quick war scenes that let you understand that there was war. But in terms of, you know, bullets flying, I just don't do a lot of that. And I think that's because I have trouble reading books that are that way. I have a very vivid imagination. I don't need much more than there was a war to understand how awful that was. So I didn't do a whole lot of actual war scenes.
So what would you say has been your favorite time period to write in and about so far?
You know, what's that's hard to say. I love research and I love learning new things. So whatever time period I'm writing about is my current favorite because I find all kinds of interesting facts and things that I didn't know before. Being a writer for me is a fabulous way to just keep learning. And whenever I can learn something new, it's exciting. So right now I'm writing a story that's in the 1890s and it's in the North Carolina mountains, and I'm enjoying that tremendously, and I'm learning quite a bit about the Trail of Tears, which happened prior to that, the Cherokee Indians that were left behind in the mountains, the Scottish heritage of the mountain settlers. It's just a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I always like research because research can always lead you to another idea or another story idea for a book, which is also cool.
Exactly. Yeah, my children have always called me Google Mom. They say that, you know, if they need an answer to something, Google Mom can find it. But I call myself a research junkie, and I've started using that hashtag.
I'm going to use that during promotions. Google Mom, Terry M. Brown.
Yeah.
Let's talk about book covers, because this one is beautiful. And yes, I know we should never judge a book by its cover, but you know we do. Did you create it, or was there a designer involved?
We do. So I did have a designer involved, but it was definitely, this was my vision. They did a fabulous job of taking what I told them and bringing it to fruition. So if you look, we have an American soldier, and in the reflection in the puddle is actually a German soldier. And a lot of people don't recognize that that's what's going on. My idea had been maybe to have an American soldier looking in the mirror with a German soldier looking back. But this is what they came up with, and I absolutely love it. And the other thing I really like is that the title, An Enemy Like Me, is not just put down on top of, you know, a photo or, you know, some kind of a graphic. And instead, the graphic, the soldier, is kind of intertwined into An Enemy Like Me, the title. And I love the way that worked out.
So what do you ultimately hope that readers take away after having read An Enemy Like Me?
I think that I want readers to walk away with two main points. One, war changes people. And it doesn't just change them during the war itself, but it changes them forever, and sometimes for generations beyond them. Because in the case of Jacob, Jacob left his four-year-old son. And we see that four-year-old son as a four-year-old talking about the things that he felt when his father left. But we also see him as an adult looking back and how that event that happened to him for those 2 years of his life changed who he was for the rest of his life, which meant that it changed who his children were, because he was a different kind of father than perhaps he would have been had his dad not gone to war. And so that's one of the things that I was exploring, was just this idea that war changes people, and not for the 6 months or 12 months or 2 years that they're gone, but for the rest of their lives and then generationally. And then the other thing is this idea of an enemy and what makes an enemy. And in our society today, do we really need enemies? You know, I understand the idea of an enemy during war because, you know, one of the two of you's coming home and you want it to be you, and so you have to have an enemy. But what about in our everyday lives? And although we might not call them enemies, we do often group ourselves into us's and them's. And is that something that is necessary? And is it possible that we're more like them than we think? And what would happen if we focused on those things that made us more alike instead of those things that separated us?
So you mentioned a moment ago that you're working on a book set in the 1890s in North Carolina in the mountains. When can readers expect that book to be available?
I am hoping that I can have that book out next January. You know, you never know. There's a lot of life that goes on that could get in the way, but that's my goal. I have that book about 75% complete in the first draft. And I have a 2-week writer's retreat coming up in March. So my goal is to have that book finished by the first draft. And then during that writer's retreat, I want to do a really heavy edit. Then I'd like to get it to my publisher, and we'll find out where it goes from there.
So what advice would you give to someone who's looking to publish this year?
Okay, so the first thing that I say is there's a lot more to writing and publishing than I ever thought. So when I published Sunflowers Beneath the Snow last January, it went out onto Amazon on the 25th of January, and I watched my computer and did not understand why my book was not selling. And I know that sounds crazy, and especially now that I understand what kind of marketing people have to do to make these books sell, but I didn't know. So if you're thinking about publishing, I say right now, today, before you even go any further, start looking into marketing and figure out what it is that you want to do and how you're going to do the marketing for your book. Because if you don't market it, then no one's going to know it's there. There are 5 million plus books on Amazon, and people don't just accidentally run into yours.
That's absolutely solid advice. Yeah, promote, promote, promote.
Exactly, exactly. And if you're not willing to promote your book, no one is. You know, so you have to believe in it, and you have to be willing to stand up and shout it from the rooftops and, you know, get on podcasts and get people to review it, you know, meet people at libraries and whatever whatever it takes so that people hear about your book, start reading your book, and then word of mouth can take over. But it can't take over until your book has gotten into the hands of enough people that word of mouth will work.
Well, Terry, where can listeners follow you and find your great books?
They can follow me at my website, which is my name, Terry M. Brown, and that's Terry with one R. There you can sign up for my newsletter. You can follow all of my social media. I have a contact page you can reach out to me. I absolutely love talking with people about my books, about any books, about writing. So you know, definitely reach out to me. I'd love to chat. And then in terms of buying the book, if you're in the US, you can buy the book at my website. Anyone else can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much wherever books are sold.
Thank you so much, Terry, for being our special guest this evening. We encourage everyone to follow her and find her books across social media platforms and on her website. Be sure to check out An Enemy Like Me. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Be sure to tune in to us at our regular time on the 25th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a special interview with Bill Nelson of Firm Grip. Because everyone has a story, the Writing Wall Podcast wants to hear yours. What is your story? Precise, unbiased. That's our friends at Scribblesworth Book Reviews. Scribblesworth is not only a safe haven for writers where they can get free tools, knowledge, and resources to help themselves, but also a place to help each of their clients to reach more readers with less and less effort over time. Check out their book reviews, e-magazine, awards, articles, and more. Just visit scribblesworth.wordpress.com or follow Julio Carlos on Twitter at @Julio_reviews. Because we all have a story, Scribblesworth Book Reviews wants to read yours, and the Writing Wall Podcast wants to share it. What is your story? Sticking with us this Saturday and for hanging around for Going Local. I'm going to be talking about podcast recommendations on Book Riot. That's right. Have you ever visited bookriot.com? If not, you should. There are an array of amazing topics to read and learn about on their site and even some great book suggestions, including book podcast suggestions. This one's titled All the Books Podcast and is one of many. It's a weekly book podcast that is filled with recommendations and interesting and exciting new books. Of course, Book Riot has their own podcast. You can hear about what books are new, cool, and worth talking about right from their editors of that show. For Real is a bi-weekly nonfiction podcast that puts the spotlight on new books and old favorites and tells it like it is. I love that podcast. I love checking out For Real. Hey Ya Podcast, also known as Hey YA Podcast, discusses great new books to favorite classic reads, from news to the latest in on-screen adaptations of books. Hey Ya also elevates the exciting world of young adult literature. And another favorite of mine is Read or Dead, also a bi-weekly podcast and dedicated to mystery and thriller literature. You can check out these and many more great book podcast recommendations at bookriot.com and tune in to a few for some amazing reads and add them all to your TBR. We'll be right back.
Anytime I purchase a book, I always review, and if I really enjoy reading your work, rest assured it may be shared here on this podcast with my listeners and followers. Of course, I will do so with permission from the author or authors first. Please like, follow, and share this information with other writers, and if you ever need a writer's lift, visit me on social media. Thank you all again for being here for this podcast. I look forward to hearing from you and learning more about the stories you weave. Thank you.